This is for the weary, with your hand upon the plow, wondering what's happening, and Jesus, what comes now?
Welcome back to True Stream Oasis. I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. You can find True Stream Oasis at truestream.podomatic.com. You can find the True Stream podcast also on the Revelations Radio Network, along with a lot of other great podcasts at revelationsradionetwork.com. It's good to be back with you guys. As you can hear, my voice still a little messed up, a little stuffy, just having problems here. It's springtime here in America, and dealing with the pollen, so if you'll excuse my stuffiness, we can get on with this interview. I had a discussion with Guardian from the Days of Prophecy podcast. You can find him at daysofprophecy.podomatic.com. I'm not going to take up too much time here in the beginning. I just want to let you guys know that glad to be back on the mic and doing a podcast here. I just downloaded a program for Skype so I can record interviews. That's pretty cool. Everybody else, I'm lagging behind here. So everybody else seems to be able to do that, but I just figured out how to do it. And so hopefully we'll be doing some interviews here and some discussions with different hosts on the network, and hopefully I can get some interviews, draw some people in here to do some interviews, because I think that would be real interesting. It's a lot of fun to get on here and bounce your thoughts, you know, off other people. It gives you a lot more to talk about, and instead of just sitting on here and rambling for 2 hours. But you know, a lot of you guys know from emailing me and some of the messages I put up on the site. I've been going through a difficult time the last couple months, so we're going to switch gears here on True Stream. I'm not going to focus so much on the conspiracies. I will be mentioning them. We'll be alluding to them as it ties in, especially as you can see in this discussion. But I just have a real focus on getting back to God's Word. Pretty much the last 6 years I spent in the conspiracy world, I'm aware of it, pretty much know what's going on, and I'll feed to you guys whatever, you know, I think's pertinent, but I really think it's time to get back to the Bible and start teaching God's Word and getting the Word in you, you know, because these times are going to get dark. They're already getting dark, as many of you guys know. I've been feeling it. You know, it's kind of hard sometimes getting up out of the bed and putting your feet on the floor when you know what's going on. You know, it takes a lot of perseverance, a lot of endurance, but you know what? We can handle it. You know why? Because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And that's the truth. And Jesus Christ is Lord of humanity. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And he overcame the world, so be of good cheer. That's what I like to focus on, you know, when I get down, is the fact that, you know, the Lord said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And one of these days we'll be sitting on the banks of the Heavenly Jordan together, and who knows, maybe we won't even remember all of this, but we're definitely going to get through this, guys, especially if you have a genuine personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He laid his life down for us to rescue us from this coming evil age that we found ourselves in. So just hang tough, keep the faith, and I hope you guys enjoy this interview with Guardian. We gave our information at the end of this interview, so I encourage you to contact Guardian, email him, and let him know. Show him some love, okay? Show him some love. He's a good guy. I've talked with him on many occasions, and he's really been there for me lately through some of these hard times. And remember, I'm praying for you guys. I'm well aware that we're all in the same boat together. We're all facing the same storms. So, keep me in prayer, and I will definitely keep you in prayer. And keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Read the Bible. Stay in His Word, because every day in His Word is a good day. And pray for spiritual discernment. I think that's what probably one of the things that we really need the most during this time is Holy Spirit discernment, so that that God keeps our eyes open, keeps them clear, helps us to see what's going on, and gives us discernment to separate, the lies from the truth. That's the most important thing right now. So stay connected to the Lord, stay in His Word, and you're going to be all right. Just to give you a little brief intro on this discussion with Guardian, I had a little problem getting some of the technical stuff worked out and learning how to use the Pamela recording program for Skype. So the interview's kind of broken up. I patched it together, but it's in like two sections. Hopefully you won't notice too much. But it kind of like jumps in after we were talking because I messed the first part up. So we'll get this. I'll get better at this, and it'll be smoother. But just to let you know, the discussion cuts in where we're kind of talking about Alex Jones, and we kind of get into a little bit of discussion with Ron Paul. And for those of you guys out there who love Alex Jones and Ron Paul, we're really not bashing on them. We're just giving our thoughts on the situation, and realizing that the focus needs to be on God's Word and saving souls, Patching up this system and trying to fix the country and fix the government and everything is not the ultimate goal. We know prophecy is going to play itself out. And when God says something in His Word, it's going to come to pass. We're not laying down, rolling over, and playing dead or anything like that. But we do have to know that God is going to bring His visions and prophecies to fulfillment. So, the most important thing in these days is getting the gospel out and telling people that as the days get dark, Jesus Christ is our rescue. I mean, our Lord came down here and He told us the truth. He told us, He said, see, I've told you these things ahead of time. They're going to happen. So the focus is helping people realize the pit that they're in, realize their sinful nature, and to give them the gospel and give them the good news that there's a way out, that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. So as we jump into this discussion, I just want to let you know, like I said, it's kind of cut in there, but we're talking about Alex Jones. So open your ears, open your hearts, and give it a listen. So basically, I think that he's drawing people in without realizing it. Another thing is like, Alex has got a site that is promoting a lot of stuff, and right off of the bat, that throws up a red flag to me, and he just involves a lot of production with what he does, and it just causes me to think that, that he's too into it, what I'm saying? Like, it just makes me question his motivations. Now, as far as his information, from the New World Order and everything, and the stuff in government and the stuff that he exposes. You know, it's good to listen to him to get information. But I went through a period where I belonged to Prison Planet for a while. It was probably about a year. And I watched all the movies. I didn't have a Zune at this point, so I couldn't really just download stuff onto my Zune. I actually had to download the MP3 audio files and burn them onto a CD and then listen to them in my car.
Yeah.
But I had a whole book, CD book, full of like interviews and stuff, and I would listen to it at work, and man, it was just so oppressive. And the people that he was interviewing, I mean, he was interviewing people like David Icke, and that guy's a whack job, you know? So, you know, when he was interviewing David Icke, you know, I was like, this isn't right. Like, he's a Christian, and I know he's doing it for secular means, but what are we doing, man? Are we trying to save America? You know? America, we know what America was founded on. We know that Freemasons founded America. You know, we know that more than likely they set this country up to become a big, strong tree, taller than all the other trees. A machine that would grow so large that it could be the actual country that would help install the New World Order. And then they did it under the guise of Christianity to be protected so that they would have the help of the Christians. The nation would prosper. It would get big, powerful, grow. And it became an economic machine, economic and military machine. And then they used it to basically install the New World Order. And now that, you know, they're pretty much done with hiding that fact in the New World Order, the beast system is ready to reveal itself. It's time to take the country back. And they started in the 50s by taking prayer out of school.
Yeah.
You know, they took prayer out of school. And, you know, I think was it Khrushchev that said it? You know, banging on his podium, he said, you know, get the prayer out of school, and then, you know, within a couple generations, you know, we'll have you.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. They took the prayer out of schools, and they started corrupting television. They got us addicted to it with the little harmless little shows like, you know, My Three Sons and Leave It to Beaver and all that stuff. Got us addicted to television, and once the hook was in, they were educating the children for the next generation. And they waited, and each generation starts out at a lower moral standard than the generation did before. And they just waited and kept corrupting everything, corrupting the entertainment, pushing the envelope. And then, you know, there would be a backlash about it. And then pretty soon that became accepted. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And they corrupted the nation, eroded the moral values, eroded the Christianity. And now we're to a point where everything can just come out into the open.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's what's happening. And, you know, Alex Jones is, you know, really getting these conspiracies out to people. But what are we doing? He's talking about saving the Constitution, saving the system, taking back government. But this whole, that's like,
see, I believe that, I mean, he always talk about New Age, and how, you know, the government is a bunch of Luciferians, and how, but a lot of his views, that's what he seems to be betraying, you know. He talks about, we have to save the earth. Is he not aware of the prophecies in the Bible and how, you know, the world, eventually is going to end, and it's going to be a restoration in Revelation 21 when God brings the new earth? Like, he doesn't believe that. He doesn't basically he doesn't believe that. I'm not saying he doesn't believe, but he doesn't relate to as far as the Antichrist rule, when the Antichrist take reign, the mark of the beast. He doesn't talk about none of that. He always say it from the point of, we need to fight back, we need to take our country back. Like the world is going to continue to go on as it is without Jesus Christ not coming back at all. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that ties into exactly what I was getting ready to say, is that, and where I was going with it was that he to me is no different than some of the secular non-Christian people who are fighting against the government. It's just that he says every now and then, oh, I'm a Christian, you know, and because he needs to keep his Christian listeners. I'm not trying to judge, but that's the way it sounds.
Yeah.
You know, that he's just trying to keep his Christian listeners, but because he knows he's got a huge base out there and he uses a lot of Christian language. But it's the production values, man. Why do you got to get up in the mic and you know, put on that fake voice and I've just made a new movie. It's called Endgame. And you need to see this. You know, like he's the dude that does the voices for the movies, you know, and it's all production. It's like, man, if you're really fighting this, get on the mic and be real. Yeah, stop trying to use those high production values. Like you're some professional Hollywood hawkster that's trying to hawk your movies. If you're not trying to hawk your movies and you're really trying to do something, then be a real person. Don't get on there and use your put on broadcasting, I'm trying to sell my movie and dramatize it voice. That's one of the problems that I have with him. It just makes me feel like, you know, he's not genuine. And I think, you know, he talks about the mark of the beast, but then he talks about fighting against it. Now the Bible says that, you know, for we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places.
Ephesians 6, yep.
Yeah, so, you know, what is he doing? And it takes a Christian with a lot of discernment in the Holy Spirit to discern this. It's like you get a good sense of smell, man. You gotta sniff. You got to be like a Christian Holy Spirit discerning bloodhound. And you got to be able to sniff it. And you're like, I smell something fishy here. Something's just not quite right. In Proverbs, it talks about the ear tastes words like the mouth tastes food. And when you listen to him, Your ears tasting those words and you're just like, something just is not adding up here. You're exactly right. He says he's a Christian, but he does not, and he uses the Christian language from the Bible, which draws the Christian listeners in, but he dramatizes. He's going into the Bohemian Grove and he's like, this is just sick, folks. This is just sick, you know, and he uses all the things that we want to hear. But sometimes I wonder if he realizes that he's got a business model and he's making money off of this. And, you know, and all this is just speculation. I can't get inside Alex Jones' heart and judge him. So I have to make, you know, I have to make some decisions about him based on what I see and what I know. So I can't judge him and say, you know, Alex Jones is this and Alex Jones is that. And I can't say that, but just from, you know, from a third-party view, looking in, you know, and just looking at it, I agree. I think that you know, first of all, to keep himself going and to keep the whole thing going, I mean, the guy talks for 3 hours a day on his show.
Well, now he talks for 4 hours now.
Yeah, 4 hours.
They bumped it up.
So, you know, yeah, you're looking at, like, this guy's got to keep the information flowing or people are just going to ignore him.
Yeah.
And he tends to get into conspiracies that aren't even conspiracies. You know, the Bible talks about in, I think it's Jeremiah or Isaiah, that, you know, do not call conspiracy everything your countrymen call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. You are to fear me. I am the one you are to fear. I, the Lord your God, am the one you are to dread.
Yeah.
And I think God put that in there for a particular purpose for the end times. You know, we're being drawn into all these conspiracies because it's disillusionment. They want to over flood us with everything that's been going on behind the scenes that they hid while everybody was living in their little American dream and they were asleep. You know, they hid it. Now they're bringing it out, and what perfect opportunity then to have this one big event that solves everything, and it was called Ground Zero, 9/11. What was it Ground Zero for? Ground Zero is the starting point of a campaign or a plan. What was it Ground Zero for? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What were they using it for?
Yeah. And what I was going to say. Yeah, also, it talks about in Matthew, don't fear the person that can kill the body, but fear the person that can kill the body and the soul.
Yeah.
And to say that, again, he talks like the way he speaks and the way he yells and screams, he presented like if we fight these guys off, you know, everything's gonna go back to normal. Everything's gonna be fine. We're gonna get our freedoms back, and we're gonna live as a great country as we once was. But like I said, he does understand that the prophecy has to be fulfilled. At some point, Jesus Christ is going to come back. At some point, the Antichrist is going to rule for three and a half years. At some point, the mark of the beast is going to be there, and basically, you know, it's not going. It's you know. So that's what I'm saying. Like, he doesn't realize that basically he puts on a blindfold. Like, as long as we fight these guys, everything's going to be all right. We're going to get our country back, and, you know, everybody's going to be fine. Whether you're atheist, agnostic, Christians, everybody's going to be fine. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he puts on that blindfold.
It's the same thing with Ron Paul, though. It's the same thing. Like, what are we going to do? Elect Ron Paul and fix America? What is the goal? Since we know these prophecies are going to come to pass, we have two sides, I think, if you split it. You know, you're going to have some of the listeners out there are going to be asking, you know, the discerning listeners, they're going to be asking, what are you saying? Since the prophecies have to come to pass, you just lay down like a dead dog and roll over and just let it happen? No. I would answer to that, no. But after you ask that question, you say, yes, we have to fight a spiritual battle, but what are we fighting for? What are we fighting for?
I mean, the best thing we can do as Christians, and as I've told many people, is keep spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the best
you
thing.
You got it. Just, bam.
Just keep you just saving hit souls.
It. You just hit it right on the head right there, Guardian. You hit it right on the head. That's exactly it. Now that we know the prophecies are going to come to pass, we're not going to roll over. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. We're not going to battle and be rebellious and pick up guns and say, we're taking our government back and we're going to do this. You didn't see Jesus infiltrating the Roman government and saying, I've come to, you know, use my God powers to infiltrate the Roman government and fix it. You didn't see him do that. Now, we're his body, and he's the master, and he is the way. What did he do? He abandoned the flesh. He's like, it was like when he was on the cross, it was a big sign to us. We're not keeping the flesh, guys. The message is there. Pick up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself, you know, and we've got to crucify the flesh. We use our flesh. We use these corrupted flesh temples with the spirit in them to get the gospel out. And when our flesh is used up, our job is done. Our battle is to get the gospel out there, to get the truth out, to point them to Christ. It's not to fix the government. And we have all these people who are proving that their love is still in this world and that their hopes are still in this world. That's why they want to fix America. They want to fix the government. They want it to go back because they want the kingdom here the way it is. They want to go back. Okay, let's say we do roll back the Constitution and we get back to the Constitution and we get back to where we get rid of all this technology and we make everything perfectly matched to the way it was in 1776. What are we going to end up with? The same thing. It's going to grow into the same thing. You can't, you can only build a certain type of house on a certain type of foundation, you know? And if you go back to the same foundation, you're going to end up building maybe a slightly different design, but it's still based on the same foundation. And the foundation is that, you know, the people are God. We never thought about that. We, the people, will rule the government. That's elevating the people. Now, there is liberty and freedom in the true sense of the word, not in the occultic, corrupted version of liberty. But there is freedom, but it comes through the Lord and through Jesus Christ. It, you know, one of the founding fathers, one of the things they said was, you know, that you know, and we know there was Freemasonry involved, but one of the things they did say was that we gave you a basic framework to rule over a moral people. And that's why there wasn't a law for everything. As the people get corrupted and they lose their morals, you're going to have to make more laws and more laws, educating to make up for those, that lawlessness. So as the people lose their morals and they start doing more wrong things, they're going to have to add another law to cover that. Then they're going to have to add another law. And what they were saying was the Constitution was made for a moral people. And if the people get immoral, they're going to add law upon law upon law until the government controls everything. And that's where we're at. So that's why you see a vested interest in corrupting the people, actually corrupting them through the media, through television. You know, you can't go down south, you know, in America. I know there may be people listening from other countries, but they can understand the different dialects of speaking. You can't go down south and not pick up a southern accent. You know, it happens. And that's proof that whatever you put in your ears and whatever you put in your eyes has a profound effect on you. And there being the dramas and all the different ways of confusing people and getting people into arguments are being modeled for you on television. It's corrupting people. They have a vested interest in corrupting people, because when they corrupt the people, they'll break more laws. And there's the reason for the government to be there, because they'll need to make more laws and they'll get more control. And then pretty much it ends up into a police state. And that's where we're at.
It's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time. And you know, this all ties into Alex Jones and Ron Paul. Not that, you know, what they're doing wouldn't help, but it's not fixing it. It's like, you know, you've got a house and you have a crack in the wall on the second floor. And you want to fix the crack on the second floor. Okay? But the real problem is that the house is shifted and the foundation's messed up. And then if you fix the problem on the second floor of the house, it's not going to do any good, because it's just going to crack again, because the problem is with the foundation of the house. So you got to go back to the foundation of the house, fix that problem, then you can fix the problem on the second floor and it won't happen again. And that's what we're doing with our country. Yeah, so what we have to do is get back to you know, what they founded this country on, and make a fundamental change, as to, you know, just change the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't go back and just reset the country back to the, you know, the way we did things in the 1800s, because, you know, I guess what this all comes down to, Guardian, is a fundamental heart change. You know, like, I guess nothing's going to change until the heart of man changes. You know what I'm saying? Because it's you know, everything that we built, you know, just picture the planet here, the way God created all the trees, nothing man-made, just God's creation. And then set man down on it and think about it. We took all the elements of the earth and put them together and made things. And where did that come from? It came from the heart of man, man's imaginations. Okay? The earth gives us all these elements to build things and create systems and stuff. But it all comes out of the heart of man. And that's what God was talking about with idols. You know, an idol's nothing. It was the heart of man that chiseled that idol to match what was in the man's heart. So what we need is a fundamental change of heart. And the only one that can do that is the Lord. He's the only one that can go inside spiritually, excuse me, into a person and make that supernatural change in that person's heart. And he does that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can speak the gospel to somebody and I can speak the word to somebody, but it's not going to do any good unless God gives the increase and through his Holy Spirit makes that change. I've said it before. It's just words falling down on the floor, not doing anything. And so that's what we need. So I think to tie it back in with Alex Jones and Ron Paul is, it's just a putty patch, you know, it's not really fixing the whole problem. The whole problem lies in the corrupt heart of man and the ideas that proceed from man's heart as to how to rule and the things that we build and the systems that we build and how we treat other people. So these prophecies are going to play out. Our job right now is to battle the spiritual wickedness, to give the gospel, to be real with people, and let the power of the Holy Spirit do his work in people's hearts. You see what I'm saying? That's it. I think that's what we're talking about. That's the whole fundamental issue, and that's what Alex Jones and Ron Paul are not doing. You know?
Even from the beginning, I saw how Ron Paul started to come off and how Alex Jones, you know, started to push Ron Paul so much. Ron Paul. I mean, it was so obvious to me to know that this guy wasn't even going to actually come off to be a threat. I mean, personally, I just think it was a waste of time. All that screaming, Ron Paul. And where is he now? I mean, we should, as Americans and Christians, realize that the end is almost near, and this prophecy is coming. And the way it's going to end is not Ron Paul as president, because obviously the atmosphere has to be crooked in order for the Antichrist to come in and rule. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I sure do. That's a good.
So, like I said, I mean. I know some people, you know, was for Ron Paul, but like I said, what we need to do, we need to open our eyes and analyze this. I mean, am I doing this for a purpose? Is this pointless? Because everybody start pushing this man, and look where he's at now. This man is not even a threat now in a presidential elections, you know?
Yeah, go ahead.
Most likely, it's probably be McCain versus Obama or Clinton. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, the government is so crooked. Do you even think that Ron Paul had a chance? Like, personally, like, that should have been common sense to people. I mean, what made people think that a crooked government will allow Ron Paul to be president? I mean, all the good presidents we had, all the good speakers we had, were assassinated, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, I just think it was pointless from the beginning.
Yeah, and it's like you could open up a whole can of worms there when you're talking about did he even have a chance, you know? And I want to point out right now that
let me say this. All that time people was hyping Ron Paul up, people could have been using that time to witness to people about Jesus Christ, you know? Everybody screaming, Ron Paul. Why can't people be screaming, Jesus Christ? Why can't people have that same excitement for Ron Paul, for Jesus Christ? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So many people got obsessed with that. They totally forgot about their primary job is to save souls. Go ahead.
Yeah. You're exactly right. They expended a lot of energy. And I guess in one way you could look at it and just say, well, if we reset the government back a little bit, to, you know, where we can get some freedoms back, then we'll have more time to get the gospel out. But you'd have to go into it just knowing that's all you're doing. You're not going to fundamentally change anything. You know what I'm saying? If we battle this in the political arena, then all you're really doing is setting things back a little bit, holding things off. You're delaying what's going to happen, but you're not fundamentally changing it. And I had this discussion with Mersenne, a friend of mine, the guy who does the Liber TV podcast. And he's a big Ron Paul supporter. And he was telling me, yeah, but, you know, we could get some of the laws changed to where they can't clamp down on us right away so that we can have more time to get the gospel out. And I buy off on that totally, you know, slow it down a little bit. But see, we're at a critical point where everything's corrupted. They couldn't destroy this country with a little lie. I was talking with Frank Lordy and Chris White the other night. I had a discussion with them, and this is a good example. And you picture a town, and you have a little stream running through it, and that little stream is not going to destroy that town. So if you wanted to use the power of that little stream to destroy the town, you build a dam. And you dam that water up and you hold it back until it builds up so much to the point where you release the dam and then all that water comes out and destroys the town. Right? So what they did was, is using the occult means hidden, by getting all of these conspiracies done behind the scenes and not able to be seen. The not able to be seen part is the dam, you know, and just keep doing all these corrupt things and let people see them in a different perception. Like, you know, oh, you know, this is why we got into World War II. We were attacked by the Japanese. But the hidden part of it was, is that Roosevelt knew that we intercepted the Japanese messages. We knew they were coming and we didn't do anything about it because we wanted to let them attack so that it would be a pretense. It would get the American people mad. They would start beating the drums for war and we'd go into war. That part of it was hidden. And that's just an example. So they've done all these things behind the scenes, the fact of what the real goals of the founding fathers were as Freemasons. You know, the pilgrims said they came from England to America to the New World. That's what America was called, the New World. And it's called the New World Order. You can put the pieces together. You can read Sir Francis Bacon's book. I think he's the one that wrote it, America's Secret Destiny, or all about, you know, how America was going to be modeled as the New Atlantis and all that. You talk about what Albert Pike talked about in Morals and Dogma. You go back and you see that they had a plan with all this. And see, now all this stuff is coming out and it's shattering people's illusions. You set up the illusion, okay? You let people live inside the illusion to further your goals. And then when you're ready to destroy everything, you shatter the illusion, the wicked shatter the illusion that the wicked created. And then everything goes to chaos. It was like a dam. Now the dam is opening and they're letting all this flood of information come out and everybody's going to get disillusioned and they're not going to fight for the country anymore because there's nothing to fight for. It's corrupted in the media, all the television shows and everything. It's just a joke. You got movies out there like Death of a Supermodel. Now nobody wants to defend supermodels. That's kind of stupid. It's plastic, stupidness. I don't even know what the word is, you know, but it's, you know, you got these movies making fun of things that were part of the illusion. And it's like everybody's just mocking everything. The only way to stop the New World Order is to defend the country knowing it's corrupt. 'Cause you can't defend it. You can't find the good there anymore. We were set up on a bad foundation. You can't find the good. So it's like you almost have to say, yeah, I know America's corrupt, but we gotta fight for it because if America falls, it's, you know, the American people that are even stuck inside the illusion are the only ones that are still rebels to go against the globalization of the world. And I hope it's what I'm saying is coming through clear. It's kind of hard to explain, but they're literally 9/11 opened the dam. I may take some heat from this, Guardian, but I'm going to give this an example. And I've said this in one of my podcasts. But New Orleans was a microcosm, a small example on a smaller scale of what is happening spiritually in our country. New Orleans was a matchbox size example, and not to belittle Katrina or anything or the victims. But I mean, compared to what's going to happen to the whole country, it's a smaller version of what's going to happen. And here's how I'll explain it. You have people who were living in a place they shouldn't have been living in. They were living in a bowl, okay? And all the water would have flooded in there. But man built levees to hold the water back. So the only reason those people could live there was because of man building the levees. Okay. And I picture America being, you know, living its life in a way that it shouldn't have been living it. Okay. And the only reason they were allowed to live it that way is because the occult in our government were hiding what was going on behind the scenes. That's like the levees, right? So when it comes time to scatter God's people, just like the people in New Orleans were scattered throughout the United States, and to cause chaos and confusion, all they did was, is the whirlwind comes in, destroys the levees. The whirlwind is God's judgment. The whirlwind comes in, and by the way, the name Katrina, if you look it up, it literally means to purify. The whirlwind of God's judgment comes in, and he says in Ezekiel 13, he's like, you know, he says, you built walls. And he's like, I'm going to bring storms to break down these walls that you've built. And people will see the foundation of what it's built on. And the whirlwind of God's judgment comes in, breaks down the walls. The people start seeing all the lies and stuff, and everything floods in. Chaos ensues, and the people are scattered. That's a microcosm of what's going to happen on a larger scale to this country. It was almost like a sign to America, you know, that you've built a system, you're leaning on it, it's faulty, it's controlled by the occult, and God's judgment comes in, opens people's eyes, they start seeing all this stuff going on, and chaos is going to ensue. And we're at a place now where probably the greatest revival is going to happen when God's judgments start to come. When things start to happen, it's going to break the spell of Babylon, because the Bible talks about Babylon as a harlot. That harlot, I forget what book it is. It might
That's
be like
Revelation.
It is in Revelation, but there's a part in the Old Testament where it talks about the alluring seductress, basically saying. That she was alluring, she used sorceries and kept people enslaved in deception.
I know what you're talking about.
So I'm not sure if I can find it here on Blue Letter Bible, but it's let's see, look up sorceries here.
Well, while you look that up, people have to realize, whether you're atheist, agnostic, wherever you come from, wherever your faith is, people have to realize America is going to fall anyway. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. The prophecy is in the Bible. It's very interesting. People say, well, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in God. Well, why are all the things in the Bible fulfilling? Shouldn't that prove to you that the Bible is true? Shouldn't that prove to you that the Bible is accurate? It talks about the mark of the beast. What do we have now? We have RFID chips, you know. And now I saw this YouTube clip the other day. Now they're talking about brain chips, planting a microchip inside your brain, and basically, you know, that goes into eugenics, and basically, you know, if they do that, you won't be human no more, and they call it eugenics, post-human, transhuman. Basically, they're gonna stay in your life longer than what the norm would be. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Mark of the Beast. There's so many prophecies in the Bible that fulfills itself and what we're seeing right now. And like I said, that's why you're pushing all this new age, this interfaith. You know, if you believe in this God, that's fine. You believe in this God, basically trying to bring everybody together to make it okay, you know. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
There's no other way.
It's just people. People just want to be ignorant. I mean, personally, I think they really know it's true. They just fail to accept it. They just fail to do something about it. I think it's more of that transition. They don't want to make that transition. They don't want to make that transition from their comfort zone, which is sin, to which can be a comfort zone as well. You know, because God wants us. God said, Jesus said, I came to you. I came for you to have life and have it more abundantly. God wants us to live a comfortable life, but we have to do it as Christians. We have to do it as the right way, you know?
Spiritual comfortability. It's not materialism. You know, life's goodness does not exist in the abundance of the things that you own. There, you know, it's spiritual fatness, not so much physical or material, you know what I'm saying? It's not always that way. You know, it's I found that passage in Nahum.
Okay.
And let me read this. And see, this is one of the problems. This is what I want to teach people, is to look at the Old Testament as prophecies. Yeah, God is talking about Nineveh here, okay? But it doesn't just apply to Nineveh, because we're doing the same things. So these prophecies, anybody, it doesn't mean, you know, well, if there's another city over here called, you know, like Istanbul, and they do the same things as this city, well, they're not going to have to worry about God doing the same thing to them, because God only meant this for Nineveh. You get my point?
Yeah.
You know, if you do the same things, you're going to get the same things. Now, listen, knowing this is a prophecy about Nineveh and Nahum, just listen to it and think of America. Just think about it. Just listen to the words. And if you do this, you will find American traits all throughout the Old Testament, and you can see the judgments that are coming. It's Nahum chapter 3, starting at verse 1 through verse 7. Just listen. Woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims, the crack of whips, the chatter of wheels, galloping horses and jolting chariots, charging cavalry, flashing swords and glittering spears. You can see how we go to war. There's a lot of blood on our hands, because we've created a lot of destruction. We murder our own people here, you know, especially in the streets among the poor. There's a lot of murdering with the gangs. There's lies and conspiracies everywhere. Merchants come to our land and they plunder the wealth. And there's a lot of victims from all of this. The crack of whips, we're talking about financial slavery, the clatter of wheels. There's cars everywhere. There's business, galloping horses, jolting chariots. He's like, you're always busy. And he says, many casualties, piles of dead, bodies without number, people stumbling over the corpses. And this could apply to the spiritually dead, you know. It says, all, listen to this verse, all because of the wanton lust of a harlot, alluring, the mistress of sorceries, who enslaved nations by her prostitutions, and peoples by her witchcraft. It's almost like, especially over America, you can see the spirit of the American woman, may it be the Statue of Liberty, come to life. And you see this woman who's a harlot, and she's just hovering over America, and she's spinning her hands, and glitter is coming out. And she's just moving her hands all over the country, and everybody's under this spell of entertainment and lust and materialism, and she just keeps dropping her pixie dust all over everything. You see what I'm saying? The picture, it's like all because of the wanton lust of a harlot, because she went away from God. She had the lusts, and she's a harlot. She was alluring, tempting, the mistress of sorceries. Sorceries is learning how to manipulate something at the source. If I study psychology and I deal with you, knowing that psychology, I can manipulate you into things. That's a form of sorcery. If I use medicines to manipulate your thought processes or something, that's sorceries. It's manipulation. You can use language as sorcery. You can be so deceptive in your speech and so persuasive in your language that you can literally be using your mouth as sorcery. And who enslaved nations by her prostitution. She got them addicted to the same things that she was addicted to. And she got them enslaved by their greed, and peoples by her witchcraft. It says, I am against you, declares the Lord Almighty. I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. And now the skirt has been lifted on Lady America. America the beautiful. The skirts are being lifted up, and people are seeing our private things. You know what I'm saying? They're seeing all the conspiracies and all the corruption, and we're not so liked. The Bible says that the beast will burn the harlot with fire. What do you do when you're done with a harlot, when you're done with a mistress, and you've abused her and used her, and pretty soon you're like, you know what? You're so cheap. I don't even want you anymore. You know, and then you just get rid of that mistress. You're like, get out of here. You disgust me. That's what the nations are doing to America. Get out of my face. You disgust me. Your skirts are being lifted up. I'm seeing what you're all about. Your materialism, your people are asleep. You eat Big Macs until your face is stuffed. You don't care about anything. You're a money whore. Get out of my face. You disgust me. And that's what God says he's doing. He says, I am against you. I will lift your skirts over your face. I'm going to show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. I will pelt you with filth. I will treat you with contempt and make you a spectacle. All who see you will flee from you and say, Nineveh is in ruins. Who will mourn for her? Where can I find anyone to comfort you? And it's not just about Nineveh, because if you go to Revelation 18, the key in here is who will mourn for her. If you go to Revelation chapter 18, I'm going to pop that up now. It uses the same language. It says, let's see, when the king, Revelation 18, 9, when the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, woe, woe. That's the strongest language in the Bible. That literally means terror. Woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power. In 1 hour, your doom has come. And what is that 1 hour? That's the same hour that's spoken about. It's the hour of judgment. Same hour that Jesus talked about. He says, you know, he says that, I will keep you to the church of Philadelphia. I will keep you from that hour of testing that is coming upon the whole world. The Son of Man comes as an hour that you know not. Says the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Now, who do you think that is? We are the materialistic buying whore of the world. You know, all these things. Woe, woe, O great city dressed in fine linen. What color is fine linen, Guardian? White.
I don't know.
White. It's white. I figured you might not know, so I'll help you out there. It's white. Fine linen is white. Purple and scarlet. Scarlet is red.
Yeah.
And if you look at our flag, it's the blue in it's not like an aqua blue or even a darker blue. We say red, white, and blue, but it's really a hue of purple. And I don't know if that is alluding to the colors of our flag or whatnot, but I find that curious that it says, whoa, whoa, great city dressed in fine linen, white, purple, and scarlet, which is red. It says, in 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. And we see what's happening with the economy. It says, whoa, whoa, great city where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. And it says, it says, the kings of the earth committed adultery with her. It says she mixed a cup. And it says, for all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. Okay? Those adulteries are behaviors that God does not like. And the maddening wine, wine is like a form of spirituality. Jesus talked about the wine, you know, and wine is like, they're drinking that spiritual adultery wine, and it's maddening. It drives you crazy because Babylon is confusion. Just picture, man, like you're on a little something and you're pulling out like Google Earth and you're hovering above the nation. You see all the lights, and in every city, it's like blah, 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 all these talk stations all at the same time, thousands of them through every city and town. Babble, babble, babble. Everybody's talking and the television's on and everybody's having their conversations like babble, 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 babble. And half of it's about stupid shows or, you know, Republican Democrat systems they set up. Everybody's in confusion. They can't come back into reality. They're just talk, 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 babble, babble, babble. I'm arguing with you. You're arguing with me. Oh, we got to do this. We got a pair of bills. Oh, we're in debt. Babble, 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 babble. It's just, it's confusion, man. And they're not even talking about the things of the Lord. So what does it matter? They're talking about the man-made systems that they built, the man-made media that they made, and they're caught up in the maddening wine of their adulteries. And when somebody who's spiritual comes along and has been reset by the Lord and can step out and see that perception for what it is, it's confusion. They're totally confused, and they're all getting caught up in the whirlwind of events of their own doing. They're drinking the maddening wine. And everybody's going to have the spins at the end, just like when you drink real wine. That's why it's the spin meisters. You're going to end up spinning, and it's going to be a whirlwind of confusion, and the whirlwind of events is going to be blowing all around people. And that's why I'm telling people, come out of her. Come out of her, my people. Don't use Babylon to explain Babylon. Don't use Babylon's media sources as if we just find the right news stories from Babylon, we'll be able to figure Babylon out. No, Babel means confusion. It's Babylon. It's mystery Babylon. You will not be able to understand it. It's confusion. You feel my vibe? You see what I'm saying? You can't use Babylon to understand mystery Babylon because it's all mysteries. It's the mystery religions. It's confusion. And we can't do that. The only thing that straightens your head out is being brainwashed by the Bible. Oh, that's a word that people have a neural connection. Why did Amish just say brainwashed by the Bible? That sounds like a bad thing. Well, guess what? You're a victim of the words being twisted. The Bible says to wash, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Wash yourself in the Word. So in this context, brainwashing is good. You need to let the Word wash over your mind and clean it. I would say that people are brain dirtied by the world and that the Bible brain washes you. You know, the Bible goes in, the Lord says that we're defiled. We have our thoughts filed away in the wrong places. We think of things in the wrong way. We're defiled. We're corrupted. And the Bible is like an ultimate computer program that's an antivirus. It goes in and it resets how you think about things in the proper place. That's why we need to be using God's Word, telling people, read the Bible. Read the Bible. You don't understand it? Read it anyway. You know, you got a virus, you got bacteria problem like bronchitis or, an infection. You take the medicine. You don't worry about what's in it. It does its work. Read the Bible. Don't understand it? Read it anyway. You don't want to read it? Read it anyway. It's the only way out.
And that's what a lot of people, they will use that excuse. Well, I read it, but I don't understand it. And then they're so quick to give up. But let's say you're trying to improve a skill. Let's say you play basketball and you start playing it for the first time and you're not good at it. And, you know, and you keep shooting the ball. You can't miss. Eventually, you want to become good. So you do repetition and you become better. I mean, but why can't people do that for the Bible? Why? Because people don't have interest of it. And why people don't have interest of it? Because the sin makes them hate the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're right. You're right, man. It does. It's I liken it like this, man. See, spiritual hunger and physical hunger are diametrically opposite. When you're physically hungry, you want to eat. And then when you eat, you get full. Yep. Whereas spiritual hunger is exactly the opposite. When you don't feed on the Word, you get less hungry. Yep. The more Word you eat, you digest spiritually into your heart and into your mind, the hungrier you get. It's exactly the opposite. So if you get out of the Word, you're going to start losing your desire for the Word. Whereas physical hunger, that's why you can tell that the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit wars against the flesh. That's why you get all these language of opposites from Christ. He says, he that shall lose his life will actually gain it.
That's right.
You know, it's like crucify the flesh. But see, what happened in the garden is real important. You know, did you ever wonder why they realized that they were naked?
I'm sorry. Repeat that again.
Did you ever wonder why they realized that they were naked? Like, what happened? Did you ever think about that? Because it's crazy. Our flesh, it is our clothes. We need to stop identifying that we are these fingers that I have. I'm squeezing them. This isn't me. The me is the spirit, the soul. And they were in tune with that before they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were in tune that they were in a temple, that the temple was their clothes, and they felt no shame. But something about eating that fruit translated their identity into thinking that their flesh was them. See, they didn't feel naked before because they were covered by their clothes, their flesh. But something happened when they ate that fruit, and their identity, who they were fundamentally, transferred from the soul to the flesh. And now it's almost like there was a doorway. The inside, think of like an inside hollow compartment inside your body that holds the soul. And there was a little door there. And, you know, the identity walked from the soul chamber to the flesh chamber and then got confused. So, you know, afterwards they thought that, that their flesh was them, and then they needed clothes to put on their clothes, in other words. You see what I'm saying? They started identifying with the flesh. And ever since that day, man has just been that 666. It's like a six on a record that just keeps skipping because there's a scratch, an etching on the record, and they just keep skipping on it. And you can't get to that seven, which is God's perfect number. They just keep skipping on the six. 6 days shalt thou work. Man was created on the sixth day. Six is man's number. I can only think about the worldly things. I can't see spiritual things. I only think literal and physical things, and I need food, and I need to work. I need to work for my salvation. It's all this earthly man thing, and they just get caught up skipping on the six. And it takes the Holy One of Israel, who is Christ, to add to that six, that interface with Christ that gets us to the seven that makes us complete. That's the Holy Spirit, God, the Father, and Christ, who I believe are all one, you know? Do you see what I'm saying? So that's the problem, man, is, and I always make short stories long, so you have to forgive me. I always do that. I'm a motor mouth, but,
Yeah.
I guess people are just understand that about me now, but to make that short story long, that's the problem, man, is the flesh. And the flesh is diametrically opposed to the spirit. The spirit is different from the flesh. We don't eat spiritually, we get less hungry. We start eating spiritually on the food of the word, we get hungrier. The flesh is opposite. So that's why you're going to find those opposites, and you're going to find that war. And man, when you become a Christian, when God reaches down, we don't break into his light. We do not break into his light. He crashes into our darkness. The true salvation happens when you're not trying to break into his light. It's when he crashes into your darkness and makes that supernatural change. And when he does that, you have just jumped on the bandwagon of that struggle. You have joined that struggle that Paul talks about, that struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And it's difficult. And that's why John said we needed to have patient endurance. We need patient endurance. You go from being happy-go-lucky dude in the big theme park of America, you know, oh, there's a little corruption here, yeah, people lie, whatever. But then you go into actually seeing it when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes, and you don't like it so much anymore because you're identifying with your spirit, you know. And then the world, you start to, your love of the world gets broken, and love is blind, man. So when your love for the world gets broken, you can see. You start seeing all the things that you would not allow yourself to see before. And that's when you enter the struggle. Living each day of your life becomes difficult. So any of the listeners out there, you're having a hard time and you can't understand why you can't live your life and be peaceful. The Bible says there is no peace for the wicked. So don't feel like you're alone. You get up out of bed and you get that dread feeling. You're like, oh man, you know, I'm distressed. That's normal. You're a Christian. You gotta go out there. You don't love this world anymore. It's not fun time. It's not fun time at the circus anymore. You know? You're actually battling, and you understand that you have a fundamental different worldview and perception of the world than other people do. So, you know, welcome to the fight. Welcome to that struggle. You know, and, I don't know, man. It's difficult, but we got a lot of things that we're facing here, and we got a lot of people, maybe well-meaning, like Alex Jones and Ron Paul and stuff like that, but we got to watch out, man, because not everybody that says they're doing what they're doing is doing what they're saying. You got to have discernment.
Like I said, I mean, I have no problem with them. I think they're good guys, as I told you. You know, as far as the audience, you know, listen to him every day. You know, his information, I think, is good. But as far as the primary goal, I don't think he's stressing it, which is, like I said, the whole point is to save souls, to bring people to Jesus Christ. That's the whole objective. I mean, he's presenting facts. He's presenting what's going on, but he's not accomplishing the main objective. You know, that's like you're in the military, and the general gives you a mission. And you got your primary goal, you got your secondary goal. So basically, I mean, your primary goal is something, but, you know, as you go on to achieve that primary goal, you got to do your secondary goals. Okay, the secondary goals is fine, but at the end of the day, your main goal is still not achieved. That's what he's doing, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. He, you know, I guess everybody has their own gifts and stuff. I just feel like he gets into a lot of things that are a little bit way out there. You know, he interviews people sometimes that, he's just not totally focused on Christianity. If he was totally focused on Christianity, he would not have, interviewed David Icke. You know, because that guy, you can just mention something spiritual to him and you can just feel the hatred boiling. He gets, you know, he gets real uptight about that. And then he starts talking about reptile people. Man, how, you know, you go down into the rabbit hole, you're going to start slipping and you're going to fall all the way down to the bottom into Wonderland. And you're not going to know which way is up and you're going to be begging to get out. And Alex Jones is on a train that goes down into the rabbit hole. And I'm just warning Christians to be very, very careful, because you're on a trip to total disillusionment. And if that's what it takes to some people to get into all these conspiracies, I went through it. So I'm not downing anybody. You know, I had to take that path. I literally was so oppressed that I was on my floor crying out to the Lord to just rescue me, because I was in such a dark place. And this was after the Lord had gotten a hold of me and after I became a Christian. It took me to a place that I don't ever want to go again. And it's, there's just so much in there and it's so much confusion. I almost wish people could kind of, this is what I always say. That's why my tagline for my podcast is vaccinate yourself with truth. You know, it's like a vaccination process. You know, when you vaccinate, you give people a dead form of the disease. I would take people in and show them a little bit of the conspiracies just to show them that they're in a pit, that the world that they love is a lie, okay? That they were so in love with is a lie. And then that would hopefully give them, you know, the motivation to reach out, and they say, wow, Christ is really valuable. Wow, like I knew I was supposed to be a sinner and I needed the Lord, but man, I see this, the whole world's closing in around me. They're going to start crying out to God with some serious ampage, like serious motivation. And that's when God acts. I can testify in my own salvation experience. I went out into a field and I screamed out to heaven. Now, I was in a really bad place, so I was ultra uber motivated to just scream, you know, and God acted in a dramatic way in my life. And the Bible says all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I haven't done a study, but I'm thinking the Lord's saying, use your voice. Don't do this spirit praying in your spirit, in your mind. Call out to him, because it works. It's powerful. Yep. Even David said that his call went up into heaven, into God's ears. He heard my cry. It's the cry of the shofar, that moaning, wailing, I mean it, God. I mean this. I'm ready. Please save me. You know, and when you do that, God will act in a way that will blow your mind. You'll be thinking, oh, I went to church and why is God there? Yeah, I think I got a prayer answered and I kind of felt good when I listened to that message. You'll go into a full-blown spiritual reality turbocharged, where God will open your eyes and you will see what is around you. And then that, seeing that, is half of what motivates you to hold on to his robe so tightly. You know, you're like, I'm not going anywhere, Lord. I'm sticking with you. I'm reading the Bible, man. I don't want anything to do with any of this stuff. This stuff is freaky. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's it. You know, we gotta cry out and we gotta do something, man. We're not gonna turn this ship around, man. This ship is broken. It's time to get the gospel out there, and Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. You call me narrow-minded? That's right. Jesus said the way is narrow that leads to life. So if I'm narrow-minded, maybe my mind's on the narrow way. Hopefully, you know. But it is. It's narrow.
So for all you atheists, agnostics, just take it for face value. America is going to fall, and there's nothing you could do about it. Jesus Christ is coming back, and the longer it takes you to accept that, the harder it's going to be for you to realize the truth. So, again, like I said, the prophecies in the Bible, the mark of the beast. Now, another prophecy in the Bible that I thought was interesting is in Revelation chapter 6. And I was looking at the USA Today yesterday, and it was talking about food shortages. And it was talking about how our food surplus is extremely low, but then the article on the next page talks about how George W. Bush is giving away like $770 million in food aid. And basically, he's doing that on purpose to destroy us.
I agree. I saw that story.
You saw that story?
It was
unbelievable. He's doing it on purpose to destroy us. And actually, it's a prophecy in the Bible, and I'm going to go to it. But before I go to it, and that's why food prices is going up, especially wheat. I mean, I don't know about you. You work at Papa John's. Has pizza prices been going up?
Yeah, the prices are going up, the cheese and stuff and some of the food costs. It really hasn't hit us with the wheat yet, but it's definitely the prices on the rise. We have had a couple of menu increases. I went into Walmart the other day, and I didn't see so much the flour prices going up. That just might be because they have a bunch of it in their warehouse that they had bought at the cheaper cost. So they're holding the prices down until they're having to actually sell the stuff that they're paying more for. But the rice prices have went through the roof.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess through the roof, you'd say, you know, $30, but they've tripled. I bought a 20, you know, thank God I bought 4 or 5 20-pound bags of rice over the last year. So I've got about 100 pounds of rice, but I was buying it at like $5 or so at Walmart. And I went in there the other day and it was like $14.62 for the same bag. Yeah, so this stuff is going up. And what people don't realize is that the dollar is failing. When they see these prices going up, they don't, you know, some people may not understand economics. And here's a little nugget, you know, no pun intended with the gold reference here, but here's a little nugget of information. Gold's value, like an ounce of gold will still buy today pretty much the same amount that it would have bought 100 years ago in real goods. Gold is the standard. Because it has to be mined out of the earth, it's a precious metal, and that gives it its value because it has a finite supply. What people don't understand is when they're telling you that the price of gold is going up, gold is not becoming... I have opened your eyes and see the truth. Gold is not going up in price. What they're really telling you is that your dollar isn't worth as much. So for them to give you an ounce of gold, they're like, you better dig deep in your pockets because those dollars aren't worth as much. I need more dollars now for that same ounce of gold. That means the value of your dollar is going down. It doesn't mean gold is going up. It means the value of your currency is going down, but they don't tell you that on the news. They don't say, you know, oh, you're going to have to pay more for gold now because the dollar is falling in value. They just tell you that the price of gold is going up. So we're seeing everything, all the prices, we're going into hyperinflation. And it seems like they are crashing the dollar, you know, because they're just making stupid decisions. They moved all of our manufacturing bases overseas. So we don't sell anything out of the country to get other money into our country. We're just buying everything. And everybody else is manufacturing it. So we're the only, we don't export anything anymore except dollars.
Yeah.
You know, and they're selling, you know, the oil at exorbitant prices. And I'd recommend everybody to go to Gordon Comstock's show, The Ministry of Truth. He's on the Revelation Radio Network. You can go to revelationradionetwork.com and check out Gordon's show, and check out show episode number 89. It's an interview. I can't remember the guy's name. I think it's William Baxter. I'm not sure.
Irvin Baxter?
No, it's not Irvin. That was Ziggy's podcast. That was a good podcast as well. I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
it was,
I like
Coast
it.
To Coast. Yeah, it was a Coast to Coast interview. But this guy's name was like Walter something. But it was really good, and I enjoyed it. It was him talking about the CAFRs, the CAFRs, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, and how the government owns most of the stock. They own 44 million shares of Microsoft, and they own 80% of the stock in oil. They own 80% of the stock in pharmaceuticals. We're literally becoming like a corporate fascist. We're already there, pretty much, state, where everything's run by corporations. And what you think is the government is actually a front for corporations and business. And it was an amazing show. So I recommend everybody to go to Gordon's show, The Ministry of Truth, on the Revelations Radio Network, and download episode show number 89. It was really good. But that's what he was talking about. I mean, that guy he was interviewing, I wish I could remember his name. I mean, he's the man. He was just telling it like it was. That was probably one of the best shows I've ever heard on the subject. And kudos to Gordon for getting that interview. But it's you know, the dollar's falling. We're gonna face things here in the future that are gonna be difficult, and it's gonna try our faith. And we've got to be anchored to the rock of ages. We've got to have our hopes in Christ, in the kingdom of God, because the hopes that we have in this world are going to crumble away. And for Christians, even if the Antichrist comes on the scene, and we are still here, the Antichrist system comes on the scene and they start fixing things after the chaos, it's going to be in such a way where it's going to turn Christians' stomach, because they're going to know that it comes at a cost. You know what I'm saying?
That's why it is key. That's why this is the time now that you should be buying food. You should be buying non-perishable foods. You should be buying canned foods. You should be buying bags of rice. You should be buying anything you could buy right now for the survival times like that. This is very key. It's going to be at a point. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 6, it says, and this is when the third seal is open. It says, a quart of wheat will be equal to a whole day's wages. A quart of wheat and three quarts of barley will be the same. So right there, that's saying wheat, food, it's going to be very expensive. And basically, if they drown a dollar, or if they, whether they bring that marrow, or whether if it comes sooner and the Antichrist brings in this mark of the beast system, you're going to be forced, in order to buy food, to have that chip. And if you don't have that chip, you're not going to be able to buy or sell. So this is why it's key right now to start buying food, water, and prepare yourself for this. So that way, when this happens, you'll be ready. Now, I'm not saying that just because you prepare, you'll be set for the rest of your life. Of course not. But see, this is the opportune time now for us to start fasting and praying. That way, we can prep our body. So when we do go through this time, we can make our food and supplies last longer. Amos?
Yeah, I agree. But in the end, yeah, it's good. You better have a food supply stock, because you don't know in the beginning. You don't want to freak out and not have any food. Have all this go down, and then you got to make emergency preparations. You don't have any time. So at least get enough food at minimum for like a couple weeks, so you can have your head about you and you still have some food. But in the end, the Bible says that your gold and silver will not save you in that day. So it doesn't matter whether you got a room stocked full of gold. Doesn't matter if you got a room full of food. It's going to come down to trust in the Lord, even if he's got to show his wonders again and drop manna down from heaven. The ultimate thing is that you have to, your faith has to be strong. But I would definitely recommend getting an emergency supply of food, so you're not freaking out, you know, when the chaos ensues, and you don't have any food, because you got to think about too, Guardian, that, you know, there's going to be chaos, dude. There may be some people coming up in people's houses, you know, with weapons and you know, we're hungry. You know, see, that whole room full of food you got may not do you any good. Somebody might come and steal it. But, you know, the ultimate thing is that we've got to trust in the Lord. And I think what we're going to do is we should wrap this discussion up. It's getting kind of long here, but I want to read a verse out of John 3, and I'm going to read the verse we all know, but I'm going to read a few verses after that, that people don't read too often. It says, starting at verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Stop right there. He loved. What does love do? It gives. It's sacrificial. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish." If your fear is perishing, this is the hope. "That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life."
Yep.
Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." Satan is the one that accuses. Okay.
The accuser.
Yeah, we've all sinned. We're already condemned. God sent his Son into the world to save the world through him. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Now listen, whoever believes in him is not condemned. That goes along with the verse that where Paul says, it says, what was the verse? He said, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. It's not the Son condemning you. You're condemned already because you've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Here it is. This is it. This is what Jesus said. He was talking to Nicodemus. This is the verdict, and this is what every man will hear. Light has come into the world. That light was Jesus Christ. But men loved darkness instead of light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into that light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. That's telling you right there that anybody who rejects the gospel is rejecting the light, because the gospel sheds light on their sin. And people don't like to be shown their sin. They don't want to perceive themselves as having been wrong. It makes them feel guilty, and people don't like guilt. But guilt, coming through that guilt, is the only way you've got to come into the light. You have to. You have to deal with that feeling of, man, I feel like crap. I've sinned. I feel guilt. It says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God, not through yourself. The flesh is corrupt. So people have to come into the light, and that's why they resist it. But they're like, you know, you picture darkness and this beam shining down, this spotlight of light, and there's a circle there. And people don't want to walk into that circle of light. They're like, it's almost like they're looking at you like, but if I walk into that light, all my spiritual scars and wounds and leprosy will show up, and I don't want to see it, you know? But you have to. Whoever out there is listening, there's only one way to eternal life. All peace, all goodness, the peace that you're looking for in buying things or experiencing things, that peace that you want in your soul is found in having your relationship restored with your Father. Having that relationship, that reconciliation to your Father, that's what's going to restore the peace. You have to come into the light. You have to allow yourself to be exposed and see who you really are and what the problem is that you have and what sin has done to you. And when you come into that light and you confess it, God already knows. When you confess it to the Lord, you're admitting what he already knows, but it's just that you're fessing up and you're coming clean about it. And you humble your heart in front of the Lord and you ask for forgiveness. That's what Christ came for. He came to be the reconciliation between you and your Father. And that's the only place that peace is going to come. In this world, you'll have tribulation. That peace is only found through Christ. And I guess we'll just leave that invitation out there hanging.
Before I close this out, I just want to always, you know, invite our listeners to give a chance to accept Jesus Christ, you know, as their personal Savior. So if this podcast, this episode has really been a blessing to you and you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just repeat these words after me. Say, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, I'm sorry, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your precious blood. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, come into my heart. I believe you died on the cross for me, and please be Lord and Master of my life. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And that prayer right there, that's your salvation. The only thing you got to do now is continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, start reading your Bible. Start read it. Study the word. Ask God for divine understanding, wisdom, guidance. And we hope to see you next time. Amos, do you have any last words?
Yeah, I would just add to that. The most important part of saying that prayer is that you're not just repeating after guardian. You got to mean it.
That's right.
You got to mean it. Don't pray it if you don't mean it. You got to mean it. You know, that's just a guide for you. You know, if you meant that with all your heart and you feel the weight of sin on your heart and you meant that prayer to the Lord, he will honor it. And I just would just tell people to wait patiently on the Lord. Keep crying out to him, asking for his mercy, and wait patiently on the Lord. The Lord, he's not a little Buddha in a box. The Lord is God. He's the King. He does things in his time. And you just cry out to the Lord, ask for his mercy, and wait and read his word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you want faith, faith is what saves us. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace, a gift that you don't deserve, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourselves. It's not of works, so that no man can boast. It is the gift of God. So just wait patiently on the Lord, and if you want faith, read the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we'll close it out there. You want to go ahead and give your podcast information, or did you have something else to add?
Yeah, one more thing. And for any reason, if I may have said the prayer too fast or not clearly, as you know, this is a podcast, so you can rewind it back and, you know, go back and, you know, hopefully you can get their words remembered and you can say their prayer. But like I said, Amos said completely, said dead on. Make sure you mean what you say. Just don't say it, you know, just I need to say this to save me.
Make sure. Yeah, it's not a magic charm. It's not a magic voodoo spell that makes some magic happen.
Yeah.
It's all in the heart.
He's
giving you a heart cry.
Make sure this is what you want to do. Make sure you mean it from the bottom of your heart. And if you do it, Jesus Christ will come into your heart and he will guide you. Just want to get on my website, myspace.com/daysofprophecy, myspace.com/daysofprophecy. You can go there. I have different videos. I have like Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen. I have like my podcasts. I have blogs. A bunch of stuff on there. I think you'll enjoy it quite well. Daysofprophecy.podomatic.com. If you go in there, you can leave me some comments, some messages, some profiles, hate mail, whatever you want to send me. I like all of it. And Amos, your links?
Yeah. My podcast is True Stream Oasis. You can find True Stream Oasis at truthstream.podomatic.com. and pretty much any I have a TrueStream Oasis discussion forum. That address is a little bit long. You can find those links on the right side of my Podomatic page at truestream.podomatic.com, where you can download the podcast. You can leave comments on the podcast. I also have a listener comment line that you can call that's also listed, and leave me some comments. You can contact me if you have any questions about salvation, or just any questions in general, or you have questions about something that we've talked about or anything. Just we love it when you contact us. You can contact me at epiphos@hotmail.com. That's epiphos@hotmail.com.
And also my personal email address for my podcast is babypodcast@awol.com, babypodcast@awol.com. And guys, don't be afraid to send me, Amos, Frank, don't be afraid to send us an email. You know, we'll be glad to help you and whatever you need.
Yeah, that's why we're here. I mean, you know, it's a ministry. We're taking the gifts that the Lord's given us and just trying to do the best we can to minister out there. And we're real people. We're in the struggle with you guys. We're no different than you. We're just, you know, the body has many different parts. You know, the food gets to the mouth by the hand. The feet walk the body to the food. We all have different gifts, but we're real people. We're struggling right along, you know, flesh versus spirit with you. So, you know, don't be afraid to talk to us. We're just trying to spiritually feed you and help you along with discernment to be able to discern the times. You can find all of the various podcasts, related to the Revelations Radio Network at revelationsradionetwork.com. So, well, I guess we'll close this out and enjoyed talking with you, Guardian. I think it was a good discussion, man. And hopefully the listeners get some meat out of this, because we talked about a lot of interesting topics. So, we're going to close this out. I guess we'll say see you later.
And if we don't see you next time, we hope to see you in heaven. God bless.
Yeah, we'll see you on the other side.